Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
What is this podcast actually called?
One Torn Every Minute.
It is not. Right. What do you mean, like fannies and full-on fannies?
Full-on fannies. Gird your loins.
Ready to talk, a fanny.
Okay. Hello, I'm Beth Murray, and this is One Torn Every Minute, the podcast where we talk about giving birth. Today, I'm joined by the lovely Lydia Maguire, who is, at the moment, a teacher, which means that she's better than almost all of us and does a properly worthy job. But I want to take you back, Lydia, because there was a time, you do have a claim to fame, don't you? There was a time, years ago, that I remember you were in a cereal advert. Was that it? Was it, in my mind, it's Special K and that you were
you
the
know
Special
exactly
K
what
woman.
It was. You know exactly what it was.
No, I don't.
It was
remember.
Mini Shredded Wheat. And I was the face of Mini Shredded Wheat. Bite size.
Right, this
bite-sized shredded wheat.
This is really impressive, and I'd actually forgotten it.
Yeah, it was on cereal boxes and everything.
But now you are a teacher, and there is something about you that distinguishes you from my other guests on this podcast, mm-hmm. But I'm not going to go there just yet, because I want this to kind of unfold organically like a hypnobirthing flower.
Gorgeous.
So we're just going to get there. Mm-hmm. So, the format of this is that, firstly, I ask you to choose your favourite child, by which I mean I want you to choose your favourite birth, mm-hmm. by which I mean the most gruesome, juicy, meaty of your births.
That's difficult because they were all quite meaty in their own ways.
That's
actually.
Good to know. We can dip into yep. others, that's fine.
Yep.
But if you had to choose one... I mean,
one of my three.
Three times. This mm-hmm. is impressive as well.
I know.
One of your three births, then which would it be? And I'm genuinely interested in this
what,
bit
the
because
meatiest,
I don't know what you're going to choose.
The meatiest.
The one that yields the most gore.
Well, there was a lot of gore with the middle birth.
Really?
There was. Yeah, loads of actual gore came right flying shooting out.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, let's go for the middle birth. And then, you know, if we need to dip into...
We might dip in because they were all
we'll
meaty.
We'll dip our fingers into the meaty juices of yeah. birth one and three.
Gorgeous.
But we'll focus on birth two.
Yeah. Do you want me to tell you why it was so gory?
Well, we'll get there.
Okay.
Because I don't want to skip to the end. Mm-hmm. I want to take you gently through this. We're going to gently widen your cervix and delve deeply inside.
Lovely.
So we're going back to what year is this?
This one was 2012.
2012, yep. Olympic year.
Olympic year and an Olympic birth, actually.
Oh, good.
Speediest, speedy.
That bodes well.
Yep.
So you are 9 months pregnant. Did you get to the full term?
I did. Oh, yep, she was a week and a bit early, so almost.
Almost there. Mm-hmm. And what heralded the beginning of labour?
Well... I had actually been out the night before. So what heralded it was not a mingling of being a little bit tired and emotional and having maybe drunk slightly too much for a woman who was that pregnant.
I see. Let's probe a little more deeply there. But, what have you been drinking the night before you
I
gave
don't know.
Birth?
I don't know if it should be such public knowledge, but I think I definitely had not followed the rules. But it was my second time. I felt
yeah,
fine.
Who cares?
It was with some very naughty friends, and it all got a bit naughty. And so realizing that I was in labour melded between feeling quite unwell and then thinking, oh no, this is a particular kind of unwell. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. This might not no longer be all the wine.
Yeah, this ain't no ordinary hangover. This is a baby hangover.
Yeah, basically. And I think to this day, the poor baby had just thought, bloody hell, I need to get out of here.
Before I'm pickled.
bit tragic, but true.
So, you're pissed.
Yeah, basically.
And you realise you're in labour.
I don't think that helped with the meatiness and the gore of the labour either.
Oh, dear. And you realise that you are in the early stages?
Early stages, and my first birth had taken so long that I think I thought with the second one, I've got ages, mm-hmm. I'll have time to sober up and get to the hospital and be all gorgeous and do my yoga breathing and, you know, it'd be fine. So I took my time.
Yeah, you're doing your breathing.
I was doing lots of breathing, got on my ball.
You didn't want to wake anyone up?
No, you know, I felt too polite.
What about your husband?
Didn't want to wake him up.
You didn't think he'd have some sort of
he needs to sleep.
Slight interest in the
no,
experience?
No, not really. I thought he'd be cross at being woken up at 2 o'clock in the morning. And also, I think our first child was not very well in bed with us as well. So there was, you know, other stuff going on.
Oh, right. So you're just sitting there breathing gently
Do
and quietly.
Gentle, quiet, polite breathing.
Not getting in anyone's way.
No.
And then what happened?
Well, then it got louder breathing. Then I did ring the hospital and I was like, but don't worry, my first birth took so long. I think I've probably got another couple of days of this. Let's not panic. They weren't panicking. And my sister was staying because she was going to look after the first one. So I thought, I'll get everyone breakfast. The next thing I actually remember, though, is being on all fours, you know, as you know, mooing like a cow in that tiny flat in London, thinking, God, this happened quickly, which must have been about 6 o'clock in the morning. And by that time, everybody was woken up.
By you mooing
by
like
me
a...
mooing.
Yeah.
I seem then to remember my husband having quite a long shower and me mooing and thinking, oh, I think we should probably go to the hospital.
So did he go into the shower after you'd mooed?
Yeah, yeah. What and while. I mean, I was mooing on my own for quite some time.
While he showered.
While he had a long shower.
Oh, but that's strong work.
Yeah, it was strong work. I think we just thought we had much more time than it turned out we did.
So he came out the shower and you said...
He definitely wasn't in a panic and I started to be like, we need to go. We really got to go. We didn't have a car, so we had to call a cab. Poor Addison Lehman turned up. And I'm sure you remember where we used to live, but it took an awful long time to get me from the flat down to the cab.
Yes, it's really hard to move.
Mooing and moving.
Move and move at the same time.
Frightening passers-by. It must have been about 8 o'clock, 8:30. People going to work, don't want to see that.
No, they don't.
Staggering over that bridge.
Was the Addison Lee guy okay about it?
No.
We've had some discussions about how they do not like in Labour women.
He was very upset. But he couldn't. I don't know whether even Tim had told him that what was happening, but he was not enjoying it at all.
No, they don't like it. I wondered if there wasn't perhaps a sort of obscure law that said that a cabbie has to take a pregnant woman to hospital, but I think they do sometimes refuse.
I don't know. I'd heard that particular companies don't let you. But we had gone with Addison Lee the first time. Anyway, he was great, but he was frightened. And I remember to this day his face of fear. And because it was rush hour, we did actually get really stuck in traffic. And on Off Holloway Road, Tim had to literally get out of the cab and stop buses and do some really bad miming of a pregnant person in the middle of Holloway Road. And that is dead true. With me screaming in the car that we just had to get to hospital right now.
For some reason, I know that that's a really emergency situation, but I just feel so embarrassed by the idea of him leaping out of the car.
Yeah, it is embarrassing. His mime was poor. So it was embarrassing.
Did it work? I mean, did it actually stop?
Yes, no, it did. Everybody stopped. Yes. It was effective.
Oh, right. That
I think
is
probably everyone enjoyed it.
I mean, after his prolonged shower, he needed to do something to claw it
so
back.
Clean.
So
clean. Really was. Yeah. So poor taxi man frightened. I then sat in the well of the cab thinking, oh my, and saying, I'm going to have the baby right now. So that was why everyone was so scared.
Then, if you have a baby on the underground, you get free travel for the baby for life.
For the baby, but not for you.
Well, at least I think it's for the baby rather than you. I wonder if you give birth in a cab if you get free taxi rides.
You probably just have to pay loads of money to clean up their car.
Yeah, it's preferable on the underground on balance.
Then when we did get to UCH and the cabman basically chucked me out of his car and sped away. Poor
chap. Bridget Jones coming back from a party.
It really was. And I was flagging down passers-by trying to crawl into the hospital. Someone came out of the hospital and someone brought me a wheelchair. I was like, I can't get in that. I can't sit in that. There's a baby's head coming out my fanny. I mean, it really
was
felt like it was.
Oh, right. But was it?
Well, you know when it's bearing down on you. Oh, yeah. Could feel it close.
It feels like it
is. Yeah, it feels like it was sticking out. I mean, it wasn't actually. But.
So, did you, I mean, he didn't at this point get some midwife with her arms crossed saying, no, I'm afraid you're 2 centimetres dilated, which is what a lot of us face.
Well, that's what I thought would happen because that's what happened the first time. But no, so I was hurled into one of those gigantic lifts, unable to sit in a wheelchair, sort of pulling everybody around me. I don't even know who those people were, but thank you, those people. And, like, threw myself into the midwife wrong. Oh, do you remember there's sort of handrails along the walls?
Yes.
I remember sort of, like, dragging myself along them,
screaming. I used those handrails, yes.
So undignified. And then was sort of thrown into a waiting room. They're not even really beds, are they? They're kind of like benches.
Hang on, didn't they take you straight to a labour ward?
No, I think it was this was the, like, let's see how dilated you are room. And I was expecting them to say, oh, you know, this baby's not coming for a week. But they didn't. They said, oh, yeah, no, you're 6 centimetres, I think, or even more. And
can I take you back to the examination? Because what we've discussed about that examination where they find out how dilated you are, I always imagined before I gave birth that to check for dilation, they held up a little ruler alongside your vagina and just measured it. Mm. And so the reality of them really getting stuck in was quite a shock to me. Do you remember it? How did it feel to you?
Well, what I do really remember is the first time that I had a baby, because my cervix got stuck, I remember, I mean, it's quite undignified, isn't it? People putting their arms right up your
tummy. You never,
I know,
sexy.
No, that's not great. But I don't remember that being so much the problem than when my cervix got stuck, a doctor put his hand right up my fanny and, was kind of, in my memory, trying to scratch the cervix aside. And that is the most painful part of any of these processes. So that bit I did not like. But the measuring for dilation, I don't know, I feel like at that point, you're just like, yes, just like, let's go. We're ready.
I'm not with you there, but then we are edging towards this fact about you that I'm going to reveal some stage. So you're 6 centimetres or more dilated.
It might
have been
more, actually, because, well, and maybe I'm not remembering that number, because basically what happened was the baby suddenly shot out and I was only on that bench for about 16 minutes and she, like, pelted out suddenly.
Well,
nobody was really ready.
So you're in the side room and they
haven't... Basically in the side room, yes, just in a kind of let's check you room. Everyone suddenly started to go, oh, I think it's coming. And then she just zoomed into the world with aggression.
That's some entrance.
It was an entrance. And so all of my, yoga, the visualising, the baby dolphins slipping out of their mummies, the flowers.
Well,
opening.
That kind of worked in
a way. I didn't get any of that, though. I didn't get any of that fun stuff. I just got, stress. Powerful baby spurting out. But then, you see, the gore came because then I hemorrhaged. And it is her fault because she was too aggressive.
You're making it sound like she did it out of spite.
She did, because I drunk too much.
This was your
also,
punishment.
You know that child. She would.
And welcome to the Musical Podcast. I'm Kiri.
And I'm Jade.
And I'm Dave. And
Dave's on keys. But we don't play that too much because otherwise we'll have to pay some people rights money.
Yeah. We do a live show where comedians come and sing their favourite musical theatre songs in front of a live audience. This podcast
is us bringing that person inside of a building.
Welcome to Just a Minute with Jade Adams.
I panicked.
Enjoy.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
The thing that I always wonder about, and I don't know where we'd stitch this in, is like recovery. Because obviously I got slashed to buggery.
Yeah.
And I'm always intrigued by how everybody else recovers. So you pop these out, and did you tear?
Yeah, I mean, do you want more like detail of what I did? Yeah, well, no, I didn't.
How did you manage that?
Because of my perineum.
What?
So what? Well stretched. Do you want me to tell about
that? Yeah. Tell me that, because I did the perineum stretching. I mean, I'm not sure I did it right, because who knows? It's an odd thing to do. So for any uninitiated in perineum stretching, in the weeks before birth, you're supposed to cover your fingers in some kind of oil.
Special oil.
Special
not
oil.
Like vegetable oil.
I know, but it's like olive oil, isn't it? But not necessarily the olive oil that you'd put on your pasta.
No, I think I bought special perineum.
I think I did as well.
Massage oil.
And I covered my finger in oil, and I stood in the bathroom feeling all kinds of idiot.
Yeah.
And then I sort of stuck my finger down there and sort of yanked a bit.
Yes, yanking. Yes. I mean, I felt quite idiotic doing that and wrong for a while. But then I started to think, oh my God, this is really small. I mean, this has got to grow. It's got to stretch. If there's anything to come out.
Very small.
So
I
yanking
felt it was pointless.
Is the word. By the end, I was seriously yanking. Mm. And I really
did it.
Did
you notice any difference? I mean, you didn't tear, so obviously we've got a result there. But I did that, and I got a third degree tear. So
yeah, exactly.
Maybe your perineum was fine already.
But did they cut you first?
Oh,
they
cut me.
Yeah.
I tore.
You see, so that is just so unlucky, isn't it? Because I remember with my first one, I remember them, it had gone on so long, I remember one of the midwives saying, right, we're going to cut you now, is that okay? And I was like, yes, just like flipping anything you need to do, just get it out, I don't care. And then the Connect with Nature midwife said, no, I don't think we need to. I think we should give her a few pushes. And I'm really grateful that she did that.
That
because
she gave you a chance.
Then I think that must be why it didn't tear. But I did... So after that, so it was her, and it was also... I think it's great to massage your perineum.
Let's keep doing it.
Let's just keep on, just in case.
The thing that I want to come back to is your use of the phrase the fun stuff.
Oh yeah.
Because it's not really a phrase that you'd necessarily associate with childbirth, certainly not the conversations I've had. And this is what I want to come to. You chose number two, but I distinctly remember you talking about number three's birth.
Oh, number three.
Yeah, you see that tone. And I remember you saying something like, oh, you know, I breathed it out and I felt very in control.
I did not say, well,
you did.
Sort of true. Yeah.
And
yeah.
The thing that I want to come to with this is generally, I mean, that was very dramatic and obviously hemorrhage, not fun.
Well, you said you wanted meaty. I mean, there was a lot of
blood. It is meaty,
blood.
But the other thing I'm intrigued by is, admit it, you like giving birth.
I love giving birth.
That's
I was thinking
the
day, maybe I should be a surrogate because I could just keep on giving birth.
But
not sure I want to look after another baby or child again.
Who does? But this is what I'm intrigued by, because in all the people that I've talked to, you know, they can get that moment of euphoria and glee and triumph and joy, obviously, at meeting their baby. But there are very few people who say, yes, I love giving birth. And so I want to get to the heart of why?
Well, partly because your body is so amazing and it like takes over what's happening in a kind of alien way. And you remember like how your body's just squeezing and turning into a weird shelf when you look down
at it.
Yeah,
it feels awful. It's not fun.
Amazing that it can do all this great stuff. And everyone also is really nice to you while it's happening. That's good, isn't it?
Well, I mean, if you're lucky,
on the whole,
they're nice.
Yeah,
on
that's
the whole,
true, if you're lucky.
It's like
so
the lottery.
Feel, yeah, that is a lottery. And if they're putting their arms up your fanny and scraping back your cervix,
that's not nice.
That's not
nice. But generally, that feeling of kind... And lots of people have talked about the primal urge and the visceral quality of giving birth, but not in with the association of, I love it, give me more.
Mm.
So I'm thinking, like, are you really good at giving birth? I definitely am, yeah.
You think it's one of your life skills? No, but I think you might be. I think, well, I'm terrible at giving birth, you know, just really abysmal. I get sort of minus D grade, but I'm wondering whether you're not built in a certain way.
Oh, I hope there are some exams that I could take about this. I wonder what my grade is. Yeah, sorry.
Well, put it this way. I think my husband and your husband were talking about us giving birth, and your husband described you as a pit pony. And Tom said that I was the canary that died in the mine. Which is probably
pretty accurate. I definitely found it lovely to connect with my bestial side. Yep, definitely.
It's just weird.
Is it, though?
I think so. I don't know. I feel it's very weird.
I liked all that. I liked all that bodily functions, positive bodily function. I mean, I don't want to go around pooing everywhere and exposing my bodily functions all the time. But I liked all that, like, whoa, all this, like, stuff's coming out of me, and it includes a human. That's the good
bit. You know, we kind of like the human that comes out.
I don't even care that there's all this blood and juice and also some poo. I just thought it's like amazingly earthy.
Yeah.
I felt connected to being human.
Yeah.
Honestly, I did. I don't normally.
No, I'm pleased for you. And on some level, I can recognise that you're right. It's just that I can't quite get there myself.
I wondered if it was because I had done so much yoga. I'd sat in so many classes with women being spiritual and me thinking, oh my God, this is so embarrassing. But somehow it had like infected me.
But I did hypnobirthing. And that,
I know you did. I mean, I wouldn't have gone that far, actually.
Worth the money.
No, I know, I remember.
£250.
Oh God.
I mean, really.
No, and I couldn't have done all that visualising stuff. I found that embarrassing. Actually.
So you mean the physical aspects of yoga, you know, like the stretching and...
Yeah, I suppose so. And I don't know. I wasn't expecting to be at one with the... function of it so magnificently, but I loved it. Also, I was very lucky because I had a gorgeous midwife the first time round, who was so spectacularly connected to nature herself and all gorgeous about it that I think that set me up actually in quite a good
zone. You had to do it again, would you? I mean, how many children do you want? Let's be
well, like I said, I think I'm too old and tired to deal with any more actual children. But the being pregnant and giving birth, I definitely have got more of those in me. But it's just I don't want the next bit.
No.
Too tired to change nappies. Too tired to deal with people's emotions. That's when it gets really tiring. So, yeah, no, I would do it again. Because actually, I feel so the middle birth was the meaty, bloody birth. And the first birth was this very long, laborious, but kind of with this gorgeous midwife who was lovely, and I felt all like, this is amazing, and I am woman, and I am powerful. I went mad. I mean, I was mad. It's mad, isn't it? It's mad.
I suppose there are a lot of mad hormones coursing through you, but all my mad hormones made me pretty miserable, really, and pretty depressed, whereas yours seem to have made you empowered.
During labour, yeah. But it was madness, isn't it? No, you're right, and it's the hormones.
Yeah.
Send you into
but
some
you
sort
can
of
obviously
other
channel
world.
Those hormones in a very particular way.
I just remember, with the first one, standing up after she was born and getting up and then, like, looking down at my feet and they were all red. And then I realised there was, like, loads of blood just gushing down my legs and thinking, oh, my God, so amazing.
You see, you really are quite weird, aren't you?
What the body can do. But that is the hormones afterwards telling you that everything you're looking at is beautiful.
Yeah.
And on a normal day, you don't want your feet covered in blood that's coming out of your body.
No, not at all. So, you know, if you could, I mean, usually at this point I say, if you could go back and tell yourself a piece of advice that you wished you'd known, what would it be? But in a way, I feel like if you were going to do it again.
If I was going to do it again, what would I do differently?
No, what would you tell yourself? What's the one piece of advice that you'd give yourself?
Enjoy. Enjoy it. Enjoy every moment of it. I really would. I really would. Enjoy it because, you know, it might be the last time you're doing it. And really revel in it. And actually, what was sad about the last birth is it was quite quick and it was quite easy. So there was no gorgeous, like, oh, I'm really being a woman. I'm really extraordinarily, like, bleeding everywhere.
So let me just get this straight. You're complaining about your third birth being too quick and too easy.
No, I mean, I'm not saying it was painless, obviously. And actually, the best bit about that birth was that I ended up giving birth on my knees. And he popped out, his head popped out, but then he was dangling there. And so Tim has a really vivid memory of this little head sort of sticking out of my fanny, looking quite peeved. And then on the next push out, he
came.
He slid.
And you
but then, I think third time around, it does obviously, it gets easy because everything's just a bit more soggy.
Right. Yes. Enjoy.
Enjoy. Yeah, that's my advice to women everywhere.
Three
just
women listening to this just podcast enjoy. Are currently hissing.
I know, so
and
awful.
Scratching their eyes out.
You are making me sound like an awful person.
I know, but I like the variety because that's what I keep hearing different stories. But what they mostly share is that kind of, oh my God, it was pretty horrendous. And I wouldn't do it again. But I wanted this for a different perspective of somebody who loves it.
It's so wonderful to be that sort of like bonkers and let no one and be that undignified. I mean, that's quite wonderful, I think, as well, to not sort of care about how bonkers and loud and grotesque you're being. And it's quite freeing. I mean, I'm lucky because obviously nothing actually went wrong. And, you know, as you say, it does depend on the people that are around you in that moment. Not that my husband was any use. He was asleep in the first one for most of it, or reading the paper, or downstairs having a massive breakfast. So not him, but the midwife.
He hasn't covered himself in glory in these experiences, it has
not
to be
really.
Said. Apart from stopping the traffic, he was useful
stopping
for that.
Stopping the traffic, that was a skill. So I was lucky, but I do think enjoy. I was talking to a pregnant friend at the weekend and I was saying, you know, because there's so many horror stories, that's the thing. Mm. And then it's easy to just feel, and it's so unknown, obviously. That is my advice.
So that's your advice
enjoy.
To yourself, either past or future,
yes.
Who knows? And it's to enjoy the birth. And what I'm going to do with all of these pieces of advice for all the women is I'm going to bake them up into a lovely gender reveal cake. And then I'm just going to put my face into it and eat the cake before anyone can see what's inside. Because I don't want to release any of this advice to anyone. Because we all have to go our own way.
We all have to
do our
own
thing.
That is true, of course.
But obviously, we wish joy to any woman who's about to give birth.
I wish joy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks for listening. I'll be back next week with another One Torn Every Minute.
GreatBigOwl.com.
There.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Quickly, we haven't got long. Please listen to the all-new Angelos
and
Barry podcast.
It's a funny one.
Oh, my God, it's hilarious. There's so much muck in it.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.